proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Can people be morally consistent without God? That is the question we have been analyzing. This is part number two, and it is my pleasure to welcome you back once again to this program, The Future of America, and we will continue this interesting and important topic. What does it mean to be morally consistent? Do we need to be morally consistent? Can we trust each other if we are not morally consistent? You answer those questions. Is it even possible? Since we all make mistakes. If we all make mistakes, then why would God expect us to be morally consistent? Is it attainable, this side of heaven? And when we say morally consistent, it's not just doing good once in a while. Or it does not consist of a hit and miss attempt at doing the right thing. It is doing the right thing every single time. And listen to this. Even if we do something wrong, there is a moral way to correct it. We know how to make it right. And that is also being morally consistent. Did you get that? That's a very important point. Because again, I repeat, we're all going to make mistakes. So how do we correct our mistakes so we can be morally right? Well, how about asking for forgiveness? Forgiveness from God and forgiveness from others. Has somebody ever offended you and then come back and asked for forgiveness? Doesn't it feel wonderful for the person to acknowledge that they have done you wrong, and they acknowledge it and ask for your forgiveness? That is a beautiful, beautiful experience. It is healing for the one asking for forgiveness, and it is healing for the one receiving that forgiveness. How about apologizing to those that we have offended and making restitution? All these actions are morally right and morally consistent, even in the face of doing something wrong. We read from John chapter 15, verse 5, that says, Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. End of quote. You will notice that all of Jesus' teachings always had a truth or an illustration or an anecdote that people could learn from and understand the principle that he was teaching them. And that is a main ingredient in teaching. You go from a known truth to an unknown truth and you link it. Now, we either agree with God or we don't. Either God is truthful and accurate in this, or he is a liar, a false leader, and we must not follow him if he is not truthful. So I'm so glad that you decided to join us once again to this part number two of this topic. Can people be morally consistent without God? I'm Nena Arias. In our previous program, I want to make reference also that we quoted C.S. Lewis, who said the following, and I quote, "A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line." End of quote. This is common sense, this is critical thinking, and it should be practiced. How do humans find the straight lines to measure or compare their life decisions to? How do we know we are on the right track where we want to go? Well, there are only two sources to draw from. There are only two sources of lines. They are either God's lines or man's lines. Now, we know God's lines are always straight, no matter how long ago he established them. That's the good thing about trusting in God. He doesn't change. Humans, on the other hand, are unstable, unpredictable, and fickle. They are limited in their understanding, and sometimes they just go with the flow. Therefore, humans are totally not trustworthy. Yet, you know what? Most people live guiding themselves by what others do and what others say. Few are the ones that truly follow God's ways. And I don't say this. God says it. Look at what Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says. "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it." End of quote. You and I have to be careful that we are among those few if we want the life that God has prepared for us, not only here on this earth, but in the hereafter. And that is the beauty about following God and his ways. The benefits are going to be eternal. Yet they begin today, right now, this very moment. The moment that I decide to do things God's way, I begin to reap the benefits of obedience. Obedience has a great reward. But wickedness and evil ways? Oh my. Look at what Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 tells us about the natural tendencies of the human race. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." End of quote. Yes, I know that scripture was given before the flood, the global flood that destroyed the world. And God started all over again with Noah and his family. But guess what? Even after the flood, the sinful nature of fallen man continues down the same path naturally towards sin to this day, unless we heed the admonitions of God that lead us to do what is right. And there's nothing to say that the human race cannot fall back once again into that level of wickedness that God destroyed because it was just too much. You can rest assured that the human race as a whole is going down that path. But it doesn't have to be you, and it doesn't have to be me. There is a way of salvation. There is a way to avoid destruction. No, I'm not saying there's a way to avoid physical death. That's not what I'm saying. Unless during our lifetime, we get to experience the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's another topic for another day. But as long as you and I are living on this earth, we have the access to eternal life, even though we are going to experience physical death at some point. That is fact. That is reality. So you and I have to decide, on what side of life are we going to be on? God's side or man's side? God's side or the side of your own human reasoning alone? That's a huge chance to take, and it has tremendous destructive consequences. Not because God wants to play the bully or just corner us in confinement, that we can only see things his way because he's a bully, he's arrogant, and that's the way he wants it. That is not the God of the Bible. I'm sorry. That is not the God of the Bible. Everything that the God of the Bible does is in love, is done in justice, and it is done in preserving life for as long as he can. Because you see, if God did not act that way, the human race would have already destroyed itself long ago. You and I would have never made it to be alive. And if we have had the blessing of coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, you and I would have never experienced the salvation message in our lives. Therefore, we would not have an opportunity at living eternally with God in his perfect world that we know as heaven. I don't know about you, but even as challenging as this earthly life is, with God, I want that experience. I want that privilege. I want that opportunity to know God in all of his dimensions. Now, I made the statement that even after God corrected the sinfulness of the world and he started over with Noah and his family, that sinful nature is still with us today. Now, in our previous program, the first part of this topic, we were analyzing a survey, a global survey that was done by the Pew Research in 2019, asking people if people could be moral without God. This survey was done on 38,000 people in 34 countries. Now, this is a world perspective that we are seeing in the results of this survey. The studies show that in 2002, 58% of Americans, mind you, said belief in God is necessary to be good. 58%. For America, that is low. But listen to this. In 2019, that number slipped to 44%. What is that telling us? That is telling us that belief in God, the necessary belief in God in America, is declining. And it will continue to decline because too many Americans have left God behind, or they have only taken him on as religion. They prefer to trust their own understanding rather than to acknowledge God or to consult him in life. That's not good news, dear friends. That is not good news for America. That is not good news for the nations whose percentage is very low in answering this question. Do we need God to be moral? By nature and virtue of being created in the image of God, humans are naturally inclined to practice faith and reverence of God through our God-given conscience. that guides us in the path of life and teaches us what is right and what is wrong according to God's standards. That has been designed already within every single human being. And that fact alone answers the question that many people do not understand the answer to. They say, well, if only the Bible has the truth, and if only we can be saved through Jesus Christ, how are the remote tribal people who have never heard of Christ, how are they going to be saved? You know what? They have a conscience. Every time they do something wrong, their spirit convicts them of that wrong action. They know that when they steal from their neighbor, they're doing something wrong. And all they have to do is ask themselves, would I like it if somebody did the same thing to me? So you see, right and wrong is programmed into every single human being, and there are no excuses for being evil. People choose to stay evil because we all have the tendencies to do things wrong and to fall into sin. That's a given. But we don't have to stay there. We do not have to continue to practice that. We can change our attitudes and the intentions of our heart and correct our actions with God's help. And most of all, when we cry out to Him for help, deep down inside, we don't like to mess up, which is why guilt comes upon us. But if we deal with that guilt before God and confess our sins and apologize and make restitution, on and on and on are the many things that we can do to be morally right, even though we mess up. If you stole from somebody, the Bible tells us how to make it right. Make restitution, and it's going to cost you many times over what you stole, but oh well, you're going to clear your conscience before God, you're going to clear the debt before your neighbor, and then you will be fine. You see, this conscience that we have is a powerful force within each human being, no matter what part of the world you live in. The largest percentage of Americans still have this way, and that gives us hope that we can turn this nation around in God's direction once again. And that is what we are praying for. That is what we are working for. That is why we dig deep into God's word and share it with others when we find the truth and the treasures in God's word, so that we can all who want to be saved, who want to be morally right and consistent before God, we know what to do. And it has to be God's way. It cannot be our way. It has to be God's way. So to answer the question whether people can be consistently moral without belief in God, the answer is no, because we have no other solid criteria to judge right from wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. I am using the word consistently on purpose, which should tell us that yes, we can do a good deed here or there. But I'm talking about being consistent in everything we do and everything we say. And even when we make a mistake, how do we consistently and morally make it right? Even those who say they are atheists, and by that, they are denying the existence, at least of the God of the Bible, they are still guided by their God-given conscience, even though they want to deny God's existence. They think that wanting to be good moral people comes from them, but it is because they can never get away from the God factor that is within every human being that is alive. That is the only way that any human being can be alive, is to have the God factor within them. We call it spirit, but that is the God factor. And you will recall that when God created Adam, He created him out of dust. But until God breathed into Adam, did Adam become a living soul. And that is the God part that we have until we die physically, that separates from our physical body, and it says that we go back to God who gave the Spirit. So why has atheism been increasing in numbers? Why is America in such disarray? Why are we flying, racing towards socialism, which now is looking more like Marxism, total, tyrannical, totalitarian form of life? It is important to note that the takeover of a nation into socialism and then into full-blown communism is a process. And I'm going to go through 8 steps of this process, and you're going to recognize these 8 steps. We are clearly seeing that process taking place in America. And this is what has happened in the other countries that have fallen into this totalitarian type of government. We didn't think that we would accept socialism so openly like it's happening now. But we have become so gullible, that is where we are headed rapidly. And a lot of people are applauding. We have been fed small doses of socialism until we are finally waking up to find that we are very close to becoming communists. Does that alarm you? It shouldn't. It should face you with reality. This is something we never thought America would become. Yet, here we are, being dissolved as a nation from within. Our form of government is ceasing to exist because we have been taking away property. The government can take your property on any technicality, anytime it wants. We don't own anything. Our rights have been taken away, and privileges from those who have been willing to work for them, and they're giving it now to those who refuse to work. And we have dignified it by calling it social justice. We seem to have forgotten that socialism leads to communism. Wake up, folks. So have we already created a socialistic state? You judge as we briefly look at the steps that take a nation into socialism. Step number 1 is healthcare. Who doesn't need healthcare? This has been a big fight here in America for many years. But look at what communism says. Control healthcare and you control the people. That is a communistic principle of control. That's what they say. And we can't deny it because the battle is real in the healthcare field. I can remember growing up, healthcare was so easy. You're sick. You go to the doctor. You pay your hospital visit or whatever you need. You buy your medications, you go home, and you're done. Prices were accessible. You didn't need insurance. Insurances have become such scams, and it's all because of the control, either by the government, control by the insurance companies who want your money, but they don't really put forth the quality of service that you think you're paying for. Another control is poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible, and poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them. And socialism and communism does that in the beginning. That's why it is so attractive to so many people. Why go out there and work hard when the government can give you what you need? Increase the poverty level, and you have people eating out of your hand. There are more people dependent on the government now than those who are producing. How about debt? Debt is another control. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level that you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Does that sound familiar, dear friends? That is happening in our nation more and more and more and more. Our national debt is somewhere near $23 trillion now, and increasing, increasing, increasing every day. Another control is gun control. Communism works on removing the ability to defend ourselves. They remove the ability from the people to defend themselves from the government. And that way they are able to create a police state. Does that sound familiar? Welfare. Take control of every aspect. Food, housing, income of their lives. Because that will make them fully dependent on the government. I do not need to expand on that. You know that is what is happening. Generations after generations since the welfare system was implemented, that's all they've ever known. How about education? Take control of what people read and listen to and take control of what children learn in school. That has been happening for a century already in America. Generation after generation after generation since the beginning of the 20th century has been produced with more and more leftist mentality. The control of communism is there already. Religion. What can we say about religion? Remove the belief of God from the government and schools because the people need to believe in only the government to know what is best for the people. Where is God in government? He's out the window. Where is God in schools? He's out the window. And there you have it. Class warfare is another one. My goodness, have we heard an increase in this class warfare. Now people who have been productive are apologizing to the poor because they have so much. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. Eliminate the middle class, and this will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. Isn't that the cry we keep hearing? Take from the wealthy and give to the poor. Take from the wealthy and give to the poor. Does it sound like we're describing America? Absolutely. So to answer the question whether people can be moral without belief in God, the answer is no. Because we have no other way, I repeat, to judge right from wrong. God's precepts are the only straight lines to follow. Let us stop arguing with God. Let us stop fighting against God and listen to what he has to say. Because everything else is false and crooked and leads to destruction. And this is why America is imploding. We are destroying ourselves from within. Where are we now? What can we say about America? Dear friends, we still have time to wake up, and we can turn this around. You be the judge of where we are, and what are you willing to do to turn this nation around? Freedom has always caused great sacrifice. Other people did it for us. We have to be willing to do it for ourselves and for those that are coming behind us. I'm so glad that you decided to join us in this topic. Please share it with others and be a blessing to them as well. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.